CliffCentral.com.
And welcome. We are on Belated on a Monday morning. This is Rami Tweni welcoming you back with a voice. Yay! I've got a voice. I suffered the other week. I sounded like Barry White, except that I was black. And of course, I am riding along with my ride or die, Mr. Romeo Mabasa.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Maramza.
People and family.
What shine na fanda?
Happy nagli shangana.
Kerbyalo.
Colors.
Ah man.
I'm Papa penning you.
Yeah. Except for the hair, Joe. You must make a plan about that hair.
Yeah.
Welcome, Marom.
Yeah,
how
man,
are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling well.
Yeah.
I'm feeling better than last week.
I can hear your voice is back.
Yeah, and you brought me medicine in the week. Can you believe Romeo brought me medicine in the week? Yeah. I mean, he's...
That is not necessary.
He's such an ass, but, you know, but
that
yeah.
Is not
that day's where he loves me. That day's where he loves me. And that day he loved me. He brought me breakfast. You could see it was a breakfast chosen by a man. Hey, there was so much tomato in that breakfast of yours. And I appreciated it. And
I tried.
I devoured the thing. Okay.
Well.
Wow. What a week.
It has been.
Yeah. It's been a week. Mm. So tell me about your week, Maromza.
Now I'm the corporate guy, you know. More corporate than not. So lots of meetings. Lots of studying.
Yeah.
And if you follow my timeline, you'll see I've been talking a lot about the importance of personal development, especially I think we're going in a time where a lot of people are hurting relationship wise. And I say the best way to get back at someone who hurt you is just to develop yourself personally. Imagine you meet them in the future and you are up there, you know.
Oh, well, I can identify. I'm not in a relationship, so whatever. Okay. But I good for those ones who got advice from Romeo. Relationship for the who, for the what?
Let's go. How was your week?
My week was quiet. Mm. I don't remember actually what happened in my week. Oh no, I know what happened.
But what did you do?
I was sick. I was sick.
Yeah.
And I worked. I was shooting. I'm doing some show. Yeah. Those guys, they will overwork you. Yo.
What's your call?
And can I tell you? Mm. And my character is a chain smoker. Hey,
what?
Guy. I've been smoking. Kind of what's that? Courtly. My chest after that.
Yeah.
I look so cool. I look so sexy. I
hope you didn't cough.
I coughed after. And then, no. Let me tell you the most interesting, the highlight of my week.
Mm.
The highlight of my week. Mm. My way. The highlight of my week was that I got and said, and then there's this guy that I'm working with.
Mm.
He is tall. He is one of the.
Is he taller than me?
Taller than you, baby.
Okay.
Hotter than you. He's
got
salt and pepper. He's got everything all the right places with all right, the right proportions, let me tell you.
Mm.
Anyway, we do this scene. And then we're like, I mean, he's wearing a gown and everything. Apparently, I went to his apartment. We're talking about the something that we're working on.
What are you doing at his apartment?
Wait. It's not his own apartment. I'm talking about on set.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. The thing is, remember, this is a podcast. And someone, one day, your husband is going to be listening to this. He's like, what the hell?
What husband? What have I know?
Okay. Move on. Okay, continue.
Anyway, so now we're doing the scene. He's wearing a gown and I'm like, okay, fine. They tell me, okay, you're gonna do
this. Did you ask him to take it off?
Wait, stop it.
Oh.
Hey, where do we get this guy from?
Okay, continue.
I'm gonna tell Palisa to kick you out. then anyway, the scene starts and then they're like, okay, action.
Mm.
He comes from behind the wall, and only when he steps onto the in front of the mirror I get to see him. So I'm sitting there smoking my courtly, puffing, looking nice and all sexy with my husband.
Who do you think smokes better between you
wait,
and Celeste?
Wait. And then he steps out and he comes and stands in front of the mirror. Dude, I coughed. Guess what? He had taken the gown off. He was only in his towel. I was never ready. They had to cut. I was like, chow, guys. Yo!
Hey.
Shame God works in mysterious ways, whatever.
Restraint.
Can I tell you that verse in the Bible when they say God works in mysterious ways?
It's true.
Yeah. On the seventh day.
Yeah.
There are some people that you know the Bible says on the seventh day God rested. There are some people that God made on the seventh day. That guy is one of them.
Anyway, if you do wanna get in touch with us today, you can talk to us. Our WhatsApp number is 0797482090. That's 0797482090. Hold on to that number because you're definitely going to need it, especially if you know who we have in the guest. I mean, our guest today.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's going to be fun. We're talking about entertainment today, Maromza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Entertainment behind the scenes, the works, the thinking, the creative.
I mean, I know. You're an actor on days that you feel like you act,
on,
you know.
Eh?
You know? Yeah, and then I can see sometimes you have a clipboard pretending to be a doctor with your script there going like, I think you have hypertension.
This is Josie, man. This is Josie.
You'll be reading the script going, I think you have hypertension. Mm. But yes. With the show, on with the show. Today, we've got an amazing lineup. Yo, Banabesi,
cue me.
Morning.
Cue me.
I'm going to cue you. Just wait a bit. Just wait a bit. I can feel it in my spirit. Ooh. I'm going to preach right now.
Yeah.
I can sense it right now.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be a fun show.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. In studio today.
Hit me.
We've got, what's the drum roll, brother? We've got the amazing, the beautiful, the stunning, the the sexy, Miss Portia Gumede.
Yeah.
And just in case you didn't know, Portia didn't rock up alone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. I can feel black magic coming in this room. Woo. There's women in this place.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, on my left.
Yes.
On my left.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're watching on the screen, it will be on your right.
Right. Yeah. Creativity at its best.
You know what I mean?
On the spot, on the fly thinking. Yeah.
And we got.
Yeah.
Risuna Maimele.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And to just. To just top it off.
Yeah.
Can I take my top off?
Please do.
Hallelujah.
Aye, man.
It's hot in here.
It's getting hot.
It's hot, man.
Mm.
Guys, you know, guys, chocolate comes in different shades.
Come on.
But some shades are perfect.
Ah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Chocolate caramel. Oh, Lord.
Yes. Keep going.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
In studio. The handsome. Ooh, the fire.
Yes.
The shabaya.
Ah.
The hottest. Patuma Quarela. Yo.
Yeah.
I'm hot come and need water. I'm like,
we've never had to perform for such a long time. I am so tired. From sitting down.
I love that you like hitting. You know what? Next time we must bring a proper band. We're going to set it up at the corner there.
Yes.
And then we're just going to like do it.
Mm.
Oh.
Catch your breath. Drink water.
You see, I keep telling you that we must bring vodka in studio in the morning. I mean, it looks like water. It could be vodka.
Hey.
Vodka. Hey, but hey. No. Let's stick to water. Mm. It's a Monday morning. Let's work.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's start with... Where do you want to start, Maromza? Must we start with Risuna, ne?
Yeah, let's start with Risuna because I think it's actually nice to bring in the creative aspect of the creativity. So you have the corporate aspect, rather.
Yeah.
So the corporate aspect and how it marries and intertwines with the creative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Risuna Mekwe.
Hi, Pukile Minjani.
Eh-heh. Ritsukile. Romeo.
You can tell when someone doesn't speak Tsonga when they say Mikwe.
Yes.
It's a direct translation. From Sotho.
What does Risuna stand for?
You know, it's actually quite interesting because, going back again to that direct translation that, you know, when people speak Sotho, they direct translate. So I get a lot of people say, Risuna Mangli Teng. You know, they think it means kissing. So it's actually, the meaning is actually something totally different. My parents gave me the name in the context of precious. So in the Bible, when the three wise men came to visit Jesus Christ, they brought the three gifts, which was the myrrh, the gold, and then the other one is Mafurai Risuna. So it's that precious oil that used to be... they used in the biblical times to anoint kings. So that's what it means.
Do you see that your name actually has, the person you become is kind of like attached to your name? You know, they say there's a lot in a name. You know, you have people calling their children Mumatlakala.
Shupeka.
Yeah, Shupeka and all that. Do you feel that your name, looking at your career, looking at where you are now, you kind of like, your name is a blessing to you?
I think so. I think there is definitely at some point, you know, that relationship or the correlation between your name and what you become. I think maybe I'll say in the context of standing out, you know, because I think in most cases when you say, oh, I was with Rusuna, they would know that you were with me because my name is unique. There aren't many. Well, apparently there are so many Rusunas out there because when Coca-Cola did that, the name in a bottle, I just kind of thought, my name will never be on a Coke bottle.
But it was.
But someone spotted it and I was like, wow, you know, it's either maybe they did it for me or there are so many Rusunas. According to Home Affairs, there are so many Rusunas. It's a common name, but I've never met another Rusuna. I'm sure you never have.
Yeah, me. And my name was never on a Coca-Cola. I saw Patu's name. Remember, I sent it to you a few years ago. I was in Bloemfontein and there was a Coca-Cola bottle written Patu. I was like, wanang mitolo. I've never. Rusuna, welcome to Belighted.
Thank you, Rami.
You've been working all over the place. I remember you from SABC 3.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're like the marketing guru. You know when you wanted to go to Durban, July? What's that one in January in Cape Town?
Jane B. Met.
Jane B. Met and all of that. Mm. You start being Rusuna's friend. You start sending her messages. How are you feeling today? Like, but you must do it like discreetly. Don't do it a week before.
Yeah.
Like 6 months start saying, hey man, been thinking about you. Five months go like, we should have coffee. 3 weeks. I've been thinking about you. Next thing, you call. I'm in your neighborhood. About a month when the invitations come out, you're
it's
in.
Almost like, you know, that guy that sends a message, hey stranger, when the weather starts becoming like this. So it's something like that.
It is
like people be like, hey stranger, then you know that,
we've got
what
a problem.
Season is it here? Yeah.
Okay, Rusuna, after SABC 3, and now you were doing. Not proudly South African.
No, I was the global manager for communications and PR at SA Tourism.
SA Tourism. Then, you see, I'm jumping because I want to get to the now.
You want to get to the now.
And now you are doing what and why are you doing it?
Wow, okay. That's quite an interesting question. So now what I'm doing after working in corporate, I'm working in advertising agencies and working for government institutions. So what I've decided to do now, I actually run my own business called Brand Lift Consulting, which is basically a marketing communications and PR company.
That's where I wanted you. PR.
Yes. Yeah, so I do publicity a lot. We also do what we call influencer marketing. So working with a lot of influencers or celebrities, whichever you prefer it. Because if you look at how PR has evolved, now it's no longer just about, oh, let's send a press release, let's go on a radio station. It's about creating content to engage with the audiences. So which is where kind of like the unique selling proposition is for the business. We create content and we use influencers to create publicity.
Talk about the integrated approach to PR. What is your helicopter view of, I know you've worked in Ghana, for example.
Yes, yeah.
And looking...
Wow, you've done your research, eh? Thank you.
He's the one who does all of that.
Yeah.
So, what's happening?
We worried about what you knew about us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
I hope you don't have skeletons, eh?
No. You see, the beautiful thing about Belighted is that you'll see how by the time the show ends, you'll want more time. And unfortunately, we'll be out of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so the helicopter view of looking at South Africa from Ghana. You know, when you travel, you travel the world and then you actually either appreciate your country more or less. When you're looking from your view, your position, the work you've done for Vodafone, I think.
Yes.
In Ghana versus what you've done. What is the aggressive and the hunger that, you know, the both countries demonstrated in your view?
I think things have evolved. There was a time where there was a perception that South Africa is ahead of the continent. And I think that was more like a misconception because people didn't really understand, you know, like the African markets. So, for example, when I worked in Ghana, I worked for Vodafone. It was their first launch in sub-Saharan Africa because they were in Egypt at the time, but then they went to Ghana. So also the thinking there was also like going with like if you are in South Africa, it's kind of like from a work ethic perspective, it's the cross between, you know, like the first world and the third world. So I was kind of like, you know, a person who understood how, you know, the people from the UK worked and how the people in Ghana worked. So it was a very interesting approach because if you look at telecoms at the time, you get a brand like Vodafone going into Ghana and like wanting to transfer the things like the market insights from the UK. And you actually realize that Africa is not like a once-all approach. You know, what you do in South Africa, what you do in Egypt, what you do in Ghana is totally different. Where they got into the market and people were just like, We just want our phones. We don't want their phones to drop. Where else, like, you know, other markets like us, the South Africans coming and thinking, oh, innovation, whatever. And people are saying, actually, I just want my phone to talk for more than 5 minutes and not to drop. Yeah. You know what I mean? You come with all these fancy things. And I think it's quite an interesting thing that you realize with certain markets that we tend to complicate things, especially when you're marketing. And most of the things that work are really simple. You know, it's just about going back to the basics. So yeah. I think that's what I learned also, and also just from interacting with people, you know, and also when you look at the content that comes from the continent, like your Nollywood. And Ghana, and it's such simple content that people resonate with. Yeah. And if you look at what people are watching on Mzansi, you know, they like to watch those the Nigerian movies. They're so simple. It's simple content. Mm. You know, so I think, like you're saying, the helicopter view, what have I learned? I learned that marketing is about simplicity. Sometimes we tend to complicate things to want to be more creative, but it's about going back to the basics. Mm.
Wow, talking about interacting with people. Yeah, you took her back to the office, eh? Did you see how she went? Like, she was like, and then.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like you're in the office now.
Remember, I said, from the corporate to creative.
Absolutely. Sure. But now, talking about interacting with people, I know that is one of your biggest gifts, interacting with people. I was with your mother 2 weeks ago, by chance, by the way. Guys, as Romeo always says, like,
I was going to do this again. Oh, no. This is the third week. Like, you know, everyone, let's get over it. Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. So I was with your mom 2 weeks ago, and then we're talking about you. And she was telling me how you are such an open person. Like, every time when you meet someone for the first time, it's you don't even jump on them, but you it's like you've known them. And I mean, I saw outside when we met Portia, you're like, hi, I'm Lucille, I'm Portia. Then you were hugging. I'm like, there it goes again, you know. And your mother was telling me, it's like that's one of your biggest and your strongest points, because from since you started working, you've always been working with people, marketing, public, PR, and all of that, because it is one of your biggest gifts, which is why your mother was saying to me that you will never actually run out of favor with people, because you always build relationships everywhere you go. And I think that has been one of your strongest things. And is that what has brought you to do this, to branch into your own business, to get to do the PR and the marketing and the management
that you're doing now? With the kind of job that I do, relationships are very important, you know. Just like in any other industry where relationships becomes important. But in this context, you know, it does help to have a good relationship with people. And also, like, having a good relationship with people is being able to meet people from where they come from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you'll find that I understand different languages. Like, if I meet somebody and they say they're from Congo, I'll be like, oh, do you speak Lingala? And I can speak a few words. Mm-hmm. From Ghana, also picked up some languages. So I think it does help that, you know, if you know people's culture, you're able to have insight and also how to communicate with them. Because I think that's where you find also some brands get it so wrong, where they assume a lot of things about people, and they actually don't understand the insight. So I think what I offer as well for the business, it's an insight-driven communication solutions. So it's about understanding the people that we're talking to or we want to appeal to and apply the insights. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like, I always used to say, like, when I worked in corporate, in advertising industry, like, they would say, oh, here's an ad, you know, it's targeted at black men. And I say, but it's not a homogeneous segment. You can't just say a black man. So, for example, if you look at a black man who lives in Venda and a black man who lives in, say, in the Eastern Cape, these people, if they had to meet, if they don't know English, they'll never be able to communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. Their nuances are different. Their context is different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it helps to build relationships and understand people from their cultures and their context, because you understand what certain things mean in their cultures.
I've got a belated moment. And this is what the show is about, where, you know, we borrow from your wealth of experience to help someone, you know, coming up, you know, learning the nuances or the challenges of life. Mm. And one thing that I'm borrowing from what you're saying is, you know, being a people's person, there's always parasites. You know, you are always, there's always, with if you have five people, two are parasites. How do you tell the difference between a good person and a person who really comes and interested in you as a human being? And I think to Rami's example, you know, being friendly because, you know, the Durban July is coming.
No, I don't believe in such a thing as people being parasites. One of my beliefs is that everyone you meet in life is your teacher. So everyone that you interact with, there's a lesson that you learn, whether it's a positive or negative lesson, then you have learned something from that and you become a better person. So whether you yourself become a better person from that negativity, or they become a better person by actually seeing that that's not how life should be, you know, we should interact with each other. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's
like
it. That's very powerful, yeah.
Very, very profound. Like, that's Romeo's favorite word. Profound.
Profound,
man. Change
it. Like, yeah, I was thinking I'm going to buy you a dictionary so that you can... I mean, I like saying, okay, absolutely, fabulous. That's me.
Yeah.
Rusina, I'm just going to jump and put you on the spot.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because you're managing artists, your PR. Do you tweet for anybody?
I don't tweet on anybody's behalf.
I'm just checking.
No, yes, I do. I do tweet for people.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is what I always say. Like, you know, it's quite interesting that, because obviously, like, I mean, social media has become media, and it's a huge aspect of PR. So I always say to people that I work with that, you know, you must think about every tweet you put out. There has to be an objective and a goal to it. Because very often, like, if I'm tweeting as Rusina, who's not, like, out there in the public eye, it's fine. But there are certain things that if you have a brand and you, like a celebrity, you know, you can't just tweet certain things. You know, you need to think about it, and you need to think about what the consequences would be. So that's very interesting that...
It is. Okay, and then who do you represent? Who are your people? Or are you not going to tell us who your people are?
I mean, I can tell you some people that I'm working with.
Yeah.
And obviously, we've just started working together recently.
Mm-hmm.
I work with Sikhona Sudlaka, who's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
I also
work... That's the witch from Igazi, the one who's been trying to kill, who killed everybody. Hi. Zikhona Bathu.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else?
And I also do some work with Bonimbuli, who's a presenter and a world-renowned actress.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Catch a Fire.
And before we get so excited about talking, we tend to forget to allow you to let other people who want to be represented by you to know how to get hold of you.
And I also work, I also have other clients in hospitality, and also have, so it's mostly based, it's lifestyle focused.
Mm-hmm.
So I also work with Rubicon, the fashion designer. So I also represent her, I do her publicity.
I wore Rubicon at the Safters.
Did you wear Rubicon?
Yeah,
she's amazing. She's got amazing. Oh, and she's showing tomorrow. No, on Wednesday, the 29th at Fashion Week.
Oh yeah, in Joburg. It's not gonna do the Cape Town thing where the wind just like said no.
No, it's the SA Fashion Week where she's showing.
Yeah, this time we'll be indoors. You know, tell her, Mercedes Benz Fashion Week in Cape Town. Ha! The wind said hell no.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Are you ever gonna show? Hell no. That's what the wind was
now
saying.
Now we know which music you listen to.
Hey, you
so
know
how
which
do people
kind
get
of
hold of you? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. It's very simple. So my Twitter handle is @Rusuna. My Instagram is @Rusuna. So they can get hold of me on those platforms. And then if they want to, the website is www.brownleafconsulting.com. So that's where they can get hold of me. And they can also send me an email, rusuna@brownleaf.com, if they would like to get hold of me. And also, like, you know, going back to the loving human interactions, I also love to develop, like, young women. I mean, you know, through the work that we do as well, Rami, like with the August Club and other platforms that we do. So if there is someone who wants to get into this field and wants to be mentored, they can get hold of me, because that's something that I'm passionate about as well. You know, I always feel like think that in life it's about handing over the baton, you know, so you can't just climb the ladder and kick it when you in the process of climbing it. So I am welcome to people to contact me if they want internships or they want to be mentored.
All right, there's your belated moment if you're listening. And, of course, if you want to ask our guests any question, you can do that through our WhatsApp, and that's 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090.
That's fantastic. See, I said it, fantastic. Thank you so much, Rusina. But please, don't you mustn't move in case Portia and Patu are going to say stuff about the people you represent so that you can
help them sense
right now.
They're not allowed to.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, if anything, you never know. You never know.
I'm warning them.
They're scriptwriters. They're scriptwriters. There's no plot. They don't have the story in front of them. They are trapped. They are trapped today. So we don't know what they're going to say. We don't know what they're going to say at all.
Okay.
I don't know why people call me during my show, you know?
It's very interesting. I think someone just went and told someone, you hear the lady speaking, I actually know her.
Yeah.
What if
you don't know her, like, once.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, like, okay. Osam phone, Lani. Yeah. They know that I'm talking to you now. All right. So, Patu.
Yo,
okay. Patuchezo.
Eh? Patuchezo.
Ndibo patuchezo.
Can I tell you something that gets...
Venda is
that, very sexy. That like pinches Patu's armpits is when somebody types his name without the second H after the T. Yo. If you say Patu, just know that it's this relationship is not going to work. You forget that second H, it's over. It is over. Mm. And he said, he likes saying, that age is not silent. Patu.
And I think one of my observations of Patu was, you know what, him trying to watch a badly written script.
Yo, my way.
I think that would actually pinch his armpits even more.
I know. I don't think he will survive. I don't think he will even. He wouldn't sit in that. Okay. Patu and Portia are here.
Yeah.
They're together because these people are those guys that get our emotions running. Mm. I watched Igazi.
Yeah.
I watched.
So Cool and Partners.
Mm. And what's the. Sharon D.
Creed
and Desire.
Yes.
Ne? Mm. And the Queen now.
Yeah.
I think if we were to send these people, if these people understood the effects that they have on our health, because your heart pumps, you get a headache, you get palpitations, mala, you get instant diarrhea.
But that's what a good storyline should be about. Yeah, it should invoke emotion.
Hey, they're killing us, these people. Patu, do you even sleep? How do you write things like that?
I sleep, actually. Most of the time, I'm sleeping.
Don't lie.
I'm telling you, most of the time, I'm sleeping.
Yeah?
Yeah, I, because I don't go to the office.
Okay, so when did you write?
When bad shows are playing on TV.
There you go.
What, like, so do you write what not to, what you should have written? Is that what, like, you watch this, like, you should have said this, kind of a thing?
Not really. Yeah. I don't watch them, so I just, okay, they're not, I will give them a chance, they're not good shows. Then come that time, I'm like, it's best I be writing.
Yeah. So you do. Portia, you know, let me get Portia to come in. Because people have always known Portia to be an actress, right? From a long, long,
Tenji.
Long time ago. Yeah, like from back in the day.
Back in 2006.
Yeah. Like, even, no, is it? Was it not earlier? It was earlier.
My last acting gig was in 2010 when I did Foreplay, Sex Tips.
Sex Tips.
Yeah. And then I left and it flopped. But that was the last time.
They brought someone to replace you.
They brought someone to replace me. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. It didn't work. The role of
will be played by, know, I mean, remember the Bold used to have an announcement before the scene started.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, now Rich Forrester will be, okay. Look, the return of Stephanie DeMira.
Yes.
Again. Reloaded, the sequel, all of that. Mm. So now, then Portia stopped acting because people know she's a celebrity. She's like the one in front of the TV. Mm. Then she started writing. I remember, like, one of your first projects with Mahano. It was that era around there. I know it's not like you wrote something.
Well, I've always been a writer.
Yeah.
I've been writing since... Well, when I recognized I was a writer.
Can someone tell Gareth that he's making noise? Gareth Cliff, you're making noise, yes. Gareth Cliff, you're making noise. I can hear you from my microphone. That's my boss, by the way.
Ooh, yeah. I've been writing since I was, when I recognized I was writing, since I was 12 years old, but mostly poetry and prose. And then it progressed from there. And even when I went to drama school, the end goal was always to be a writer. But I was very shy. And somehow, strategically, I've always been blessed to know what next step to take. And I went to drama school. And when I was there, with each year, I recognized, actually, I don't want to act. All this fuss around acting and all, I don't want to act, but I want to write for acting. I think actors are just so fussy.
And impossible.
My feelings. Mm. But we love them because you can't make it without them.
There's a belated moment.
Catch 22.
There's something very important that you said. And it talks about you know, knowing that, yes, I'm going to act, but not that's not really what I want to do.
Yes.
Then how do you boldly say, I'm actually now going to switch? And how do you know it's time?
Oh, well, you know what? It's always cool if you're like a middle child because nobody's actually watching what you're doing. Uh-huh. So you're just planning quietly and you're going to drama school and you finish. Then I went to AAA and I did a bit of copywriting. And I was just always been conscious of trying to honor my skill as a writer. Mm-hmm. And when I got to Johannesburg, of course, I knew that to come to Johannesburg, I had to come through something I've written. And that's when Windebrow came in. And I wrote a play there and then progressed to being an, of course, you need to eat. And I was like, hey, I've got the skill of being an actor. I'm not confident in it. Mm-hmm. I've never been a confident actress. And I went into it. And once I've done it, I was like, okay, I can pursue writing.
So, Patu, let's talk about your education, because I think a lot of people think this writing grows on trees, but they don't know that it's important to also support it with a good educational foundation. Talk about your TUT qualification and how it kind of like has contributed to who this amazing gentleman that you are today.
Well, both of us grew up in a tavern, by the way.
You know, those are not the things to say.
And I'm actually surprised that Patu is not an actor yet. And I'm never going to be an actor.
Yes.
Wow. You guys really did your research. TUT was very... it was a very enlightening space and interesting space because, funny enough, I wanted to do engineering. That's what I wanted to do. Because, what's it? I went to SJ.
Yeah, SJ van der Merwe.
And, you know, it was a technical high school. And funny enough, I was good at motor mechanic.
Wow.
So, yes.
Okay.
You know.
What a belated moment.
Yeah, no, now I know why he keeps complaining about the that other three-star, three-pointed car. Mm.
Okay, so, and I wanted to do motor mechanic, but then somehow, like Portia say, when she's like 12, I'm like, yeah, the writing thing came in very early. Mm. You know, I wanted to write, I could write, and even in high school, I used to write, and then I discovered that actually, and I would watch a lot of television, then I discovered actually the people at the end credits, there's somebody that writes the dialogue. It's a skill you can learn. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to write professionally. And then TUT offered, what do they used to call it? Motion picture production. That was the course. Now, I'm from Venda. So imagine going to your parents.
You got the word motion picture. You know,
imagine going to your parents and say you want to do motion picture production. You have to break it down and they still don't get it. So TUT, what was interesting was, I think the first year was interesting. It's going there and you realize in a class of 40, there are like four black students, you know. And you are like, it was very exciting. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of...
Things you don't need.
Things I need.
Things we don't need.
Yes, and things I need. Because what was interesting was that I knew I wanted to be a writer. I want to write. But, and like you're saying, there are probably so many people that wanted to write, you know, still want to write. The thing about television writing, as Portia would say, is that it's very technical. It is very technical. It's like, you know, it's like a surgery on its own. Like you have to know where to cut, you have to know where to place. And those things do not come through talent. It comes through training. And I think that's what TUT gave me, was the ability to be able to write within budget.
So it kind of like teaches you the discipline.
The discipline and the skill. Right. Yeah. I mean, you've got the talent. Mm. This is how you do the skill. And that, I think, has probably propelled my career as a writer than some other writers. Is that when I graduated, after so many years...
Emphasis on many years.
You know, it was record time. So
yeah, oh, okay.
I didn't repeat.
Yeah.
So when I graduated, at least I had the skill to be able to say, okay, this is my passion, and this is how I could do this technically.
Yeah. I can kind of like, I love the marriage between the two of you. Okay.
Don't say it in public, though.
Man.
It's a perfect marriage.
Yeah. Okay. So I want both of you to come in.
Yes.
Because a belated moment here would be for someone who is struggling with where they are. A young person currently doing some course somewhere, but they have this longing for something bigger. And what is the importance of doing two things, say, in parallel? Yes, I'm going to school, but I'm going to start writing anyway. Hopefully, there's a nice convergence at the end. What is the importance of that? Say you are talking to a 18-year-old right now, and they are listening to the show.
Well, that's somebody still in high school, huh?
Well,
yeah. Well, you know what? The best thing, if anyone wants to be a writer, you start writing.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't have a computer. I had a pen and paper. Right? And
then High five. Don't leave a brother hanging.
High five. And you start to write.
Yeah.
You can't say, I want to be a writer. And if I say, show me a poem, show me something you don't have. Mm. So you start to write immediately. And you don't wait to have a fancy computer. There's pen and paper. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all started it. I've got stacks and stacks of exercise books that I wrote my stories in before. One discovered a computer.
That's called hoarding.
You know? Yeah. Well, because I think it will come back, even though I can't read some of the stuff I read. You know, so it's that. It is, because what is beautiful about writing is that in a weekend, maybe it's because I was so antisocial as a kid, I still am, is that you can have time to write.
Yeah.
It becomes, it's your hobby, it's your love, it's what you're going to become. So anyone, we always get people on Twitter saying, how do I become a writer? You don't become, you are.
Yeah, you are.
You have to start writing.
Can I ask
you to
go back?
Do you want to high five Romeo all the way?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Can you say, a belated moment for you is, and then you say that. Because that was very profound.
Well,
I need to change the word for part.
All right. A belated moment is for you to say, I'm not going to become a writer, because you are. You're either born with it or you're not. And we cannot mince that, because then I'm wasting your time, you're wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know the burn. You look at the world differently. You know, that's the thing about a writer. Everything that's politically right now, the landscape in this country is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Now, a writer looks into that, and that's why a writer can never tell you what political party they belong into. Because in every one of them, there's a storyline that is exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can never be too specific about our likes and detests of things, because we're just everywhere emotionally and invested in everything that moves the earth. Yeah.
Pato, as I said, also the importance of parallel thinking in how we do things.
Yes, I mean, I'm going back to what Poshia is saying, is that writing is a calling, and I think it's a very gentle calling that requires a lot of emotion. To be able to write, you have to be able to channel a lot of emotions within you as a writer. Yeah. And what I've discovered is that I had a weird, probably belated moment on Saturday, and I had to wake up at 5 because I wanted to write so that I have time the whole of the afternoon. And I was laughing at most of the instances you meet people that say, oh my God, we love what you do. We love your work. We wanna be like you. And then I go, if you knew what it takes to be that thing that you probably admire, you will have a second...
You'll change your mind.
You know, unless you are really born a writer. And I think I can't see myself doing anything. I think writing wasn't... Okay, a certain career didn't work. I'm probably going to write until I die.
Yeah,
I'm going to write until I die. I'm very content in the space of writing, and that's why I do it 7 days a week with more push. So I think for me, it's writing is a calling, and if you've got a calling, seek to enhance that calling. What I did when I have read any script writing book you can think of.
Yes.
I've read it. Any script writing book you can tell me. I've read Robert McKee. Anyone that knows Robert McKee.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Bible.
Yeah.
Like it's as thick as the Bible. I've read everything. I have read scripts of all American shows you can think of.
Yeah.
And so that for me, it was to try and increase the talent, the knowledge, and to see how people write. And the thing Poshia raised, people say, oh, I want to be a writer, mentor me. And you go, so tell me, what have you done to further this talent that you have. Nothing. Hey, but if you've got a data to tweet me, you can Google, you can do it. You can Google simple scripts and download. And I mean, like short script, they're there online. Yeah. So if you're going to come to me and say, oh, you want me to mentor and you have never seen what a script look like,
then it's
like,
a problem.
Oh, you are wasting my time.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask another, I want to ask something different. Okay.
Yes.
We've had, okay, you, the two of you specialize in script writing. Yes. Okay. Then we've got people who are book authors, books that you read, like Homa Romi or so.
Yes.
And then, oh, okay, yeah, fine. Okay, I wrote a book, but then it's not a script. You know what I mean? And it brings me to one of the questions that we've asked authors who are here, that the adaptation of a book
to a movie,
to a,
or a series,
script,
sorry, yeah,
to be a movie or a series, or vice versa. How difficult is that? Because we know good books that have
become bad movies,
and then other books that you didn't enjoy yet, and then when you watch the movie, like, wow, they actually lifted
enhanced
it up.
It.
They've enhanced it. Yeah. They, you know, so I mean, with writing, authors, like the visuals and everything, it's everyone's imagination, and you guys also put the imagination until Rami stands in front of the camera, until the camera and then the DOPs and the sound and everyone puts it into picture. So how do you do that?
Well, I've done it. There was a drama series called Shreds and Dreams.
Okay.
Shreds and Dreams was a play written by Bongindaba.
Okay.
Right. I acted in it. It was at the Market Theatre, and while in it, I was like, this play, you know. And Bongi and I sat down and adapted it to a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it ended up from being a 4-part series to being like close to more than 52 episodes being done off a script that was just on stage for an hour. So it is, you know, that's why it's when one picks a script, I mean a play or a book, if there's something, there's a central point you can hang on to, you then start to develop other things around it.
Can you
hold
in? Can you hold in how much fun you had in adapting the Shakespeare?
It was a headache.
Fun headache.
It was a headache, and I mean, when we did Izingane Zobaba, know, King Lear, it was, I mean, 6 episodes took 9 months to develop. Right?
What?
But these days we develop 208 episodes in 3 months. And we just go, how does it work again? And
I see what you're doing there.
You know, and it was insane, because it was really trying to, because remember in a play, things are given to the audience, right? There's no room really much for subtext except what the actor brings, right? Now you have to now lift the subtext off this page so that it marries what the television medium requires.
A belated moment. What is a subtext?
Subtext are things that are so spoken but none spoken.
Ah.
Yeah, Ramza, that's what it is.
You know what? Well, you know what Rami just did? She gave you a look.
That was
everything.
It was a sub.
She was like, Romeo, don't go there.
Yeah.
That was a sub.
Part two, you are the prime slot of South Africa. That's what I call you. Okay? And as a prime slot of South Africa.
I agree.
Yeah, he is. Definitely.
I do agree. That's why he's my friend. I'm so smart.
Yeah. I like you too. I like you too, Part two.
So, as a prime slot of South Africa, how much pressure do you currently is off your shoulders? Because chances are, when you started, it must have been a lot of pressure, seeing how many people believe in you, you know, seeing how much production companies and so forth. How do you help someone to kind of like manage the pressure of the prime?
You know, I think there are two things, and I think there's something that has probably allowed me to still be able to do this thing, is that I. Nothing in my life has really changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing in my life has really, in my day-to-day life, has really changed. I still have the same friends I had before then. So what it meant, what I know is that what people see and perceive, I'm not into it. I'm not into that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not the guy on the opening title sequence. That's, you know, and so for me, I don't think I'm at my prime. I don't think I am there yet.
We appreciate the humbleness.
I'm probably the least humble person.
I'm like, you know, you're
but
not.
But I'm not that. I am not. So I don't believe. You know, I'm trying to remember. Somebody once said this thing of people's opinions of you have nothing to do with what you think of yourself.
Yeah, right. True.
So what people think of me and the work that I do really has no bearing in what I think of myself. So, and what I've discovered is that the more I do this, the more challenging it is, because I want to challenge myself more. It's even with, you know, now it's even with the projects I take. So guys, if you've got a 13-part drama, please don't call me. I don't do social realism anymore.
You're not interested.
You know, I don't want to do another soap.
Speaking about the you're taking me somewhere. Guys, let me tell you, I'm going to put Patu on the spot. Patu is, if you've watched Mubango before, Patu is the alter ego. He is the Komojo of Mubango. If you've watched Komojo, that woman who
Patu
was crazy.
Patu is Mubango.
Yeah. And that girl is Patu. Okay? And I'm putting him on the spot. I know he'll be like, I wish you didn't go there. But now, and my question is this. It's not necessarily about Komojo, because I know how attached, I mean, your goodness. I'll be reading it and I'll be seeing Patu and I'm like checking the storyline where it's going. But other than that, and Portia, this is a question for you as well. Characters that you get attached to, that when they don't go where they're supposed to go, it literally breaks you, like no, not there. I want you to go to the west, not there.
You wanna jump from your seat and like, get on set.
And like this girl, like this. I saw it like this, you know. and then what you have written, and what is being directed, and what the actor is portraying.
The final product.
And you're like, that's not how I saw the story. But then, what is your attachment to characters? Well, okay, let's not talk about Komojo because you'll cry. But yes. It's fine.
Yeah. No, yeah. I won't. I mean, attachment to characters. I think you... the Komojo thing, because you brought it up, is a very... Because I was thinking about it yesterday.
Okay. Yeah?
And I remember what we did is that... I won't name the show because I'm not there anymore. Anyway, so what we did is that the show had two families in the beginning, and after 15 years, the other actors had been fired, had quit. So, yeah. So there was now one vendor speaking family. And we were saying, okay, we need to revive and bring in another family because the Basutus have left the show. And I remember one of my writing partner, Gwede, and I, we sat and then we strategized. And I'm like, hi, man, I lived in Luwahom. And the texture that's missing on television gets paid. And then we constructed this family. And I'm like, I know Shiwa, I know that. And that has been the joy for me as a writer, is that if I can know the setting and the language and the places at the back of my hand, I can write it like that. And we then did the show and presented it on a PowerPoint to the EP and everybody. And everybody was like, okay, it's going to work. And then there were auditions. And I remember the auditions very well. We had Busan character who was Siyabonga Twala, and now we're bringing the family. And I remember the auditions at Henley Studios. So initially, I wanted a different actress for Komojo.
Okay.
Wanted a different actress because I'd watched, I think, an old show with her in it. I wanted a different actress. She comes to the audition, and I'm there. She is terrible.
How about you?
She is terrible at the audition. And then I'm crushed. I'm thinking, oh my God, this is not going to work. And then we are sitting there, and they call the next person, and then Rami walks in. Right?
The boss lady. Eh? High five. Hey,
let me high five you, Maronga.
Rami walks in, and I remember the scene where she is having a fight with her son, with her stepson, because she has married the rich father. And it was Rami walks in and does the audition. It was over. You know that thing?
Are you telling me today?
Yes.
You're telling me today.
It was over.
He must remain impartial on the you know, during audition.
It was over.
Yeah, he can't give it away.
Yeah, it was over because, and then I think people got too excited. They didn't want to tell her then that, okay, I think, you know.
It's also the money
issue. It's just
issue.
For money.
Yes, it is the money
issue. What money issue now?
You know.
Because we can't get you too excited.
Yes, exactly. And then she
legendary
had the role.
Stuff.
And then she had the role. Mm. We knew. I knew that this is, and for me, it's like, I had a different person in mind. Mm. They came in, they did not deliver. Somebody came in and was that role.
The belated moment.
Yeah.
Bam.
It fit her like a glove.
Mm.
And we started to write. We tried to write for this character because she was very inspired by Joan Collins. You know?
Yeah. Joan
Collins, yeah. Dynasty. And she comes in, and what Rami did was she could get what's on the page. Like, she could get what the dialogue is supposed to do, what it's supposed to deliver.
Mm.
And she had those, and the joy was those punchlines that, you know, you only have to be from Siu or Lwaho or Mu
to know
those references. Yeah. And
she gets it.
She gets
she
it.
She almost saved
okay,
the
okay,
girl.
Okay,
you know
okay.
that.
Yeah.
She almost saved the girl.
This is a
but
you
know
that it was we're not already missing this. What did you buy? Please keep talking.
I love Ngaba.
You know, she almost saved Ngaba.
Yeah.
It was just that, you know, it was towards the end, so we could have had it earlier.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. You know, because it's what... it's what you bring to the role, you know, like what we're currently doing together right now with you. It's just amazing, you know. Of course, you have to be reined in because who Remy says? Mm. Who Remy is that actress who says, the script says what? I'm in. Can I have a nice lingerie for it then?
Yeah.
You know?
Can we speak to NFV?
Can I hoi boy? That's the thing. Can I hoi boy?
She gives you. And if you don't know, like, and she gives. That's what is awesome about it.
I have a suggestion. We need to get NFVF to sponsor a movie called Rami.
Mm-mm.
And you guys are going to write it.
For free. For free. Listen to this one.
No, I'm not sure about for free part. You know what? Remember those houses we've got?
Hey, Pusha, you are very rich.
You know what I mean?
So it's fine. You are very rich. It's fine. You can write it for free.
Okay. Wait. Okay. Hey, yo. We shouldn't have talked about
How big is your head, right?
We shouldn't be talking about characters and things like that. Yeah. You're going to confuse me, but I'm still working. You know, I'm still a worker.
Yeah.
And I still have to audition. You know. Okay. Maybe I do get phone calls these days. Thank God for a little upgrade. Yo, now I lost my trail of thought because you started talking about other things.
Yes.
Do you have a question, Romy?
I always have a question.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, you are highly regarded when it comes to story editing, among other things. But if you had to sum up exactly what you can do, because you do story editing, and I don't know whether as a consultant, but you do all these things. Bottom line is, you are the guy who comes and redefine perfection for every script.
Yo, such pressure.
You know, you're such a drama queen. I see Hosi now. Like, yeah, you know.
Claps once.
You know, minus the head. You know what?
Minus the hand.
You know what I think I can do?
Yeah.
Before Rinalibo Poshi and Bobo Ngi were in television, you know, it was, you know, different skin tones that were writing stories.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, they will, you know.
You know, we are uncensored. It was white people.
Yes. And there will be certain things. And I think what I can do is that somebody once says my favorite line in a writer meeting is like, black people don't do that, so take it out.
Yeah.
Apparently that's my. So I think what I can do is that because I'm black, I live black experience, I can write black people better.
Uh-huh.
And I have a viewpoint is that I want to write black people that people can watch and be proud of being black.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's why there are other certain productions with other shows. So I'm like, black people are not all poor and violent. You know, there are so many nuances of it. And I think what I love is that, and what I'm passionate about is that I think I can write black people with a heart because I'm like, I know these people. I live in their world.
Mm.
So I think that's usually what I bring in most of the work. And I'm very protective of what black people do on screen. And, and I'll give you an example. Somebody had a black character doing, one of the new writers had a black character doing this yoga in a scene. That she's doing the yoga, and I get an episode, and I call the writer, I'm like, she's not doing yoga. And it's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm like, I'm not, black people don't do yoga. She's like, no, but there are black people that do yoga. And I say, and I'm saying to her, our audience are on compact.
Yeah. Mm.
But you like a certain ville.
Yes.
Like a trait ville.
Yeah.
They don't do yoga. Mm. You know? Mm. Come 9 p.m., they don't want to see a character doing yoga.
Mm. Yeah.
That's not their frame of reference. That means you are talking above them.
Yeah.
Imagine ko Pelindaba. They are tuning in ko Mzansi Magic at 9 and the character is doing breath in exercise. Then they're going to change the channel.
There's no connection.
Yeah. Mm. But another thing I think is also that because we've got with black, we've got like the lowest of the low and we've got the highest of the high, yeah. You know, and then trying to bring that together on some shows it would work, on other shows it wouldn't work. And what you're saying about people who do the yoga, those are the same people who would watch Scandal as in The Fixer, who would watch How to Get Away with Murder, and who would be like, they don't understand why are we making a big fuss about OPW, you know?
And those are the people I don't write for.
Exactly. Mm. That's what
I don't write for Twitter people. I always, I do not. My audience is not on Twitter. My audience is on Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
My audience, people, I'll smile like a spa.
Yeah.
Tilling.
Yeah. Yes. Are plastic?
Yes.
Those are your people, eh?
Can we via razor cut? Those are my audience.
And then with those nice eyebrows, yes. They painted.
Because you
eyebrows.
Know why they are my audience.
Yeah.
If I get them, they'll watch that show for 15 years and never change the channel.
That's true.
That is so true.
Ba scandal.
Mm. Yeah.
Whenever there's a new show, ba migrate.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Now we are on the catch, and you're doing all of that.
As we bow out, as I bow out, Ramu, we close. How do people connect with you on? I know you are very active on Twitter, and then how do people connect with you? Twitter handles.
At Portia Gumede.
Yeah, Portia Gumede is A.
Right. Yeah, as A, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wouldn't advise that people contact me with their scripts, you know, because I've recently gone through some scandal where somebody
scandalous.
I'm very scandalous.
You know what? In fact, it was in, thank God for Cliff Central, we are on radio, we can actually name it, you know. In Move Magazine, Sonia. Apparently.
Who's that?
Sonia Sidibe. Oh, no. Sonia Mbele.
Oh.
Ne?
Who's that?
She used to be on Generations, and I think now she's on High Rollers.
What's that?
Oh, gosh. Patu, I'm going to kick you. Okay. And then she said she had a concept and a script, something that she worked with, and then Portia stole it. It was her idea. She said Portia stole the idea. Do you want to, like, clarify that in 30 seconds before we go?
No, you know what? Well, I think entertainment journalism really is very low now. You know, yeah. I don't think people do their research and do their investigation before they write an article.
Yeah.
You know, I could walk around and say, why did she do that? But at the end of the day, it could turn out that actually she also does not know how to anything. Uh-huh. But it's a pity that as black people, we don't pick up the phone call and say, I see that my name is attached to the accusation that is made towards you. And I just want to let you know it's not true.
It's not true, yeah.
You know, but we don't do that because our egos are still in the way. Hence, we're not getting as far as we should.
Ish.
You know, so, but it's bygones and the show is going on. We are ready to be on air in May, first week of May.
Oh,
on Monday
is the
night
same
daily,
show that,
the
that show I'm, that oh, is the show that I'm doing. Okay, oh. Cool.
You know, so God has been good.
I never know the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying I wouldn't suggest people send ideas because I just don't want to deal with that drama. You know, there's NFVF, there is a Writers Guild, even though Pat does not believe in it. I think people should still go that route. And, you know, people must just go those routes instead of coming directly to us. Because I'm a writer, I'm a producer, I'm a showrunner. So ideas, the universe give us the same ideas.
Ideas are not faithful until you act on them.
Yes.
Okay, we are out of time. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
That has been an hour. And yeah, you're still going, Rusina still think I'm going to say something, but we are out of time. Mm. Maromza works, sure. Guys. Cheers. I'm the unemployment one. I'm the unemployment myself. So I go home and Romeo goes to the office. So it's been real.
Breakfast.
Oh, gosh. Okay. It's been a real, real great morning. And we are going to bounce while my chair is still warm so that we can allow other people to come and sit in their chairs. It has been a beautiful, a belated moment. We wish you the best. I hope you get more artists that are going to give you lots of money when I resume. And you guys, please hire me. I need a job.
Please write that Cliff Central into your scripts as well.
Yeah. Just say,
thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Maromza, you're looking good.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day, man.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.